We gather on this second Sunday of Advent, anticipating the peace that can be brought by Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. For joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon on this second Sunday in the season of Advent. I pray that you will find the peace of our Savior in our worship service this morning. You are in store for a special worship service today as we experience Pointing to Christ Christmas. You'll be led and guided through the history of the Christmas ornament, what they mean to our church, the individual significance of each one of them, and of course led by our choir behind me during our music time. So you are in store for a special worship service today. If you're a first-time guest with us today, welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you would, don't mind, fill out one of the visitor's cards that's located in the pew in front of you. You can drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service today. For those that are watching us online this morning on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online today. I do want to remind you, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for this hour of worship, but also as a resource for the weeks coming up in our Advent season. I also want to encourage those who are watching online today, if you haven't had a chance, I encourage you over the next couple weeks during the season of Advent to stop by the church. Come by and look at the individual ornaments that are hanging on our tree today, because you'll have more significance following the worship service this morning. I do want to remind our church family that we have a busy afternoon of ministries today. At 4 o'clock will be our Elon Roundtable meeting, which is our business meeting here at First Baptist. We have a couple things that have to be voted on, so I want to encourage our entire church family to come out this afternoon for that meeting. Again, it's 4 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship hall, and then immediately following that at 5 o'clock will be our adult Bible study. We're continuing our study, Voices of Advent, by Professor Matthew Skinner. And today, we're going to look at the voice of John the Baptist. For those that have brought their Salvation Army items, for those angels that are on the Christmas tree, thank you. If you adopted an angel off that tree and you have not brought those items yet, reminder, they need to get here as soon as possible. Bring them this afternoon. Bring them tomorrow morning. We want to make sure we get those in time so we can deliver them to Salvation Army this week. As you look at our schedule coming up here in the life of our church for this week, Tuesday is the rescheduled Fun and Fellowship trip to Southern Supreme at 9 a.m. Our choir will be practicing at 6:30 on Wednesday. Anybody is welcome to come for that practice. And then on Thursday, we're going to have a time of Christmas caroling at Blakey Hall. That's going to be at 2:30 p.m. Gay's already lined up a couple of our choir members who are going to come, but anyone is welcome to come to that time on 2:30 at Blakey Hall. It'll be in the main building there at Blakey. I do want to remind also our church family that next Sunday, the focus, the mission focus for our Sunday will be the collection for the CBF Global Missions Offering. Our goal as a church is to raise $2,000 to support missionaries around the world. Come out next Sunday, bring that donation, and look forward to seeing a video by a few people we may know a little bit about next Sunday morning. Now, before I'm done, of course, reminder, upstairs in the fellowship hall, we've got Christmas card boxes up there. Make sure you stop by those boxes. Every church member has one of those. Stop by and pick up your Christmas cards this season. Save that postage if you want to put your cards in there, and then donate towards the CBF Global Missions Offering as well. We have many things going on in the life of our church. Take note of those in our December newsletter, in our bulletin today. But we gather here today to experience the peace of Christ, who welcomes us in worship this morning. Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather on this second Sunday of Advent, we come before you with hearts full of hope and anticipation. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the promise of his coming. Help us to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive him with joy and gratitude. Lord, in this season of waiting, grant us patience and peace. Let us not be consumed by the busyness of the world, but find moments of stillness to reflect on your love and grace. May we be reminded of the true meaning of Advent and the light that Jesus brings into our lives. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, we pray for peace in this world. Heal the divisions and conflicts that separate us, and let your peace bring reconciliation and understanding. Guide us to be instruments of your love, compassion, and peace. Strengthen our faith so we may walk confidently in your ways and share your light with those around us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace, we pray this day. Amen.
Today we light the peace candle. So suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Jesus is sent by the Father to bring peace between God and man. We are caught up in the struggle, strife, and sin. Jesus doesn't come, however, to smooth over our conflicts, nor does he come armed with armed might to force us to lay down our arms. Rather, he comes to die for the sins that lie at the heart of our rebellion against him.
The Prince of Peace takes upon himself our sins and unrest. As Isaiah put it, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. To receive his peace this Christmas, come to him and surrender, and through this act of faith, receive his grace of forgiveness and shalom.
Let us pray. Father, forgive us our selfish, rebellious hearts. We open ourselves to you and invite you to come into us afresh and grant us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our first hymn this morning is probably one of my favorites, "Angels We've Heard on High," and we'll sing the first and last verses. Let's stand and worship together.
Give you thanks for all your blessings in this season of Advent. This morning, as we honor the Christmas tree, let us also remember the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please be with us as we study your word. Open our hearts and minds. Fill us with your spirit and understanding. Then we pray that you equip us to be your hands, feet, salt, and light in this world. Now, as we give you our offerings, guide us to be good stewards. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Last year, as we were decorating our tree, we noted that quite a few ornaments were beginning to come apart. They were broken, damaged, and several of us said, you know, we need to make some new ornaments. I mentioned this to my friend Carolyn Barnes, who immediately said, we can help. I visited her church. She has a drawer full of patterns, and she agreed to come and help us learn how to do this. She enlisted her Christmon expert friend, Doris Sugg, to help us, and starting in February, we met once a month, and they came faithfully just to be with us and help us, and with patience, believe me. So the first thing we'd like to do is recognize and thank them, and we have a little token of our appreciation to give them. Of course, the foundation of our journey was laid almost 40 years ago by members of the Elon family. In the vestibule, you will find some information about those early Christmons, which were made beginning in the 1980s. Information was provided by Earlene Mann and the notes of the late Shirley Hall, and we're happy to welcome Shirley's husband and daughter, Nikki, here today. The bulletin insert has more detailed information, so if you haven't had time to read it, it's a very interesting story. Their project was much larger in scope than ours, but we hope what we have done will enhance the ornaments that they created and continue their legacy. I would like to recognize the members of our crew, including Cindy Price, Debbie Morgan, Sandy French, Susan Harrington, Leslie Cornell, Ellen Ring, Sally Farnham, Amy Harrison, and Joanne Newell. We had a few others who will go nameless, who came once, decided it was not their particular thing, so that was fun as well. We had a wonderful time being together. We do thank you for your support of this project and the generous donations that you made. We even had one member donate some personal Christmons for us to add to our tree. Now we would like to share with you the meaning of some of these ornaments that we have created while the choir provides special music for our service.
Chrismons, meaning Christ monograms, are ornaments traditionally made from white, gold, and crystal beads that signify Christ and his life and remind us of Christ's identity, his story, and of the Holy Trinity. In early church history, symbols such as stars, crosses, fish, crowns, and the Alpha and Omega used by Christians to identify themselves to one another. They used symbols on jewelry, utensils, buildings, and to designate meeting places of the church. These symbols also served to teach the faith and beliefs of the Christians, and thus were passed through generations. The designs were visible symbols that referred to the life, ministry, activities, nature, and teaching of Jesus. They always point beyond themselves to God. Indeed, the vital concept is that each design must proclaim some truth about God as seen in Jesus. These spiritual symbols tell the story of God's plan for our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In 1957, Mrs. Frances Spencer of Danville, Virginia, volunteered to decorate the tree at her church, the Ascension Lutheran Church. After learning about Christian symbolism, she decided to use that theme to decorate the tree in the church sanctuary. She created chrismon ornaments modeled after these early Christian symbols. Chrismon trees can now be found in churches and homes around the world. The elements used in chrismon designs are interdenominational and the heritage of all Christians. Gold beads used in the ornaments symbolize the majesty of God. Pearl beads represent the purity of Christ. Crystal beads represent the Holy Spirit. Our hope is that the chrismons on this tree will bring meaning to your celebration of Christ's birth on this second Sunday of Advent.
The angel and Epiphany star ornaments. Angel ornaments portray the spirits the God created to praise and serve him. As God sent messengers, angels told men of the birth, resurrection, and ascension of his son. Luke 2:10 tells us, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" The Epiphany star is a five-pointed star that symbolizes the star that the wise men followed to find the Christ child. It's a representation for Christ himself. In Matthew 2, we read, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'"
Thank you. The eternal circle is symbolic of eternity, completeness, and perfection because it has no beginning, no end, and no corners. The circle symbolizes eternity, God the only eternal one, God's eternal love and eternal life with God. Hebrews 13:8 tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The unity of Father and Son features a combination of gold beads, the Father, pearl beads, the Son, which are intertwined to complete a cross. This represents the unity of the Father and the Son, one God. In John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one.
cross has always been a reminder of our Lord's saving work of redemption. It is by the cross that man receives forgiveness from sin and new life. Until the late 2nd century, the cross was considered a symbol of suffering and death. Now, it is a symbol for Christ's victory over death. Different forms of the cross point to various aspects of our Savior's work. The Latin cross is the most widely recognized of the crosses. It is long and upright as a reminder of Jesus' suffering and resurrection, which provided us the gift of eternal life. The Celtic cross originates from the Celts of Ireland. The circle on the cross symbolizes eternity or unity. The anchor cross is also called the cross of hope. The anchor holds the ship in place as hope holds the believer to Christ. This cross reminds Christians that Jesus is the anchor of their faith. The cross rises out of a crescent moon, a symbol for Mary. Hebrews 6:19 says, "The Lord is our anchor of hope."
Would you please stand and let's sing "Good Christians Men Rejoice"?
And the iota kai. The fish is one of the most ancient symbols for our Lord. This symbol was used by believers in the early days of persecution as a secret sign of their shared faith. One person would draw an arc in the sand, and the other would complete the sign to show his brotherhood in Christ. Found on catacomb walls, fish pointed to the places of worship and served in devotional art. The initial letters of the Greek phrase, "Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior," formed the Greek word ichthys, which means fish. Matthew 4:19 tells us, "And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" The iota kai employs two elements to form this design. The iota is the first letter of our Lord's given name, Jesus, in Greek. This name means the promised one. The chi is the first letter of his Greek title, Christ.
The Greek letters were the first true chrismons. These monograms were the most ancient Christian symbols and were used as abbreviations of Christ's name in all its forms. Represents the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, his victory over sin and death, and his place of honor at the right hand of God. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 tells us, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Isaiah foretold the coming of the Messiah with these words to the Israelites in Isaiah 9:7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you.
It's okay to clap. You know that, right? Through all the songs, I've been clapping up front. You know, you didn't hear me. But small white lights are used on the chrismon tree. First, represent each person who makes up the body of Christ. And second, to remind us about working together, as do all of these lights, we can shine as brightly in our community as a light of Christ. As we turn on the lights of our chrismon tree today, may we be reminded of the love of our church family and love of God who loves us unconditionally. The first two chapters of Luke tell the story of the birth of Christ. This narrative of our Savior's infancy summarizes the whole message of the gospel using images and symbols such as these chrismons we talked about today to remind us of what the birth of this child meant for the salvation of the world. The longing of the ages were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Yet we still long for Christ to come again and set things right. Now, more than ever, we need the Prince of Peace's message to resound throughout this world. Would you join me in prayer today as we dedicate these new chrismons, our chrismon tree, and our lives as we are challenged to point to Christ? Pray with me this morning. Creator God, you fashioned us in your own image and remade us by your love in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the creativity, the skill, and the time. And we thank you for the creativity, skill, and time that has been offered in the production of these chrismon ornaments and this chrismon tree. May it be a blessing to those who made them, but more importantly, may it be a blessing and a challenge to those who see them as it brings the Christmas story to life, each pointing to Christ. We are each called to do the same. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I dedicate these chrismon ornaments and this chrismon tree to the glory of God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. As we stand for our closing hymn this morning, maybe today, for the very first time, you've heard the story of Christ and it has embraced you in a special and unique way. Maybe it was through the words that have been read. Maybe it has been through the songs that have been sung. Maybe it's just simply by looking at this tree and the symbolism that points to Jesus Christ. If today you're ready to make that decision to embrace Him as your Savior and Lord, I'll be down front to welcome you and embrace you as a brother in Christ. Or maybe today you're just seeking to find a church home that seeks to honor God by pointing to Christ in all that we do, not just through chrismon ornaments and a chrismon tree, but through all that we do. First Baptist Elon can be that home for you. Come and let me share what our family is all about. Or maybe you're struggling. During this time of year, during the holiday season, sometimes we get caught up in the busyness of life and we fail to just take a step back and to breathe. Take a step back and to take what the season is truly all about. It's not about rushing around. It's about experiencing the Christ child. Maybe today you're struggling. And if you are, what I would encourage you to do today is while we sing this closing hymn, just look at the chrismon tree. Look at the symbols. Look at the lights. Look at and see how it affects you. It brings you into the season. If you want me to pray with you, I will. If you want to come to our altar, it's His altar, it's not mine. Come and pray, and one of our deacons will pray with you as well. But embrace this season and the call that we each are called to do, and that is to point to Christ Jesus. If you would stand with me for the closing hymn.
Yeah.
the congregation, if you'll take a seat for just a minute or two for me this morning. As many of you know, and if you did not know, I'm about to let you know, that we have a lot of work that went into our worship service today, and it would be remiss of me not to thank all those that are here that played a special part. Of course, you heard our choir sing and our accompanists play this morning and to dedicate their time and energy, and I think it's appropriate today to give them a round of applause for all their great work. And of course, this is all led by our music minister, Gabe Collins, who puts in time and countless energy into this, and we want to thank her today. I also want to thank our readers, those who came and shared the story of each of the chrismons. And what I would encourage you to do is to honor them by coming up and look at the chrismon tree following the worship service. Don't rush out to get to lunch. We're done a little bit early. It's okay. But come forward and look at the chrismon tree. Look at the individual ornaments. Stop by the tree in the back in the foyer. Look at those ornaments and look at the history of the chrismons here at First Baptist Elon. Thank you also to Carolyn and Doris, who are here with us today. They spent countless hours, and I want to echo the word that Kathy used, patience, working with our chrismons. And I'll go ahead and confess, I stepped foot in that room just to say, great job, you're doing a great job, and then I stepped back out because that's the best place for me, because I don't have the hands for chrismon decorations. But there's somebody else. There's the chrismon team that helped make all these ornaments, and those were our readers today. There's somebody else who put a lot of time into this worship service through the months in making the chrismons, through kind of leading this project, through outlining the worship service and the words that were read today. And that person needs to be recognized today. So we want to give a special thank you and a great round of applause to Kathy Johnson. And if you want to hear more stories about behind the scenes, talk to Kathy. She has all the stories for you this morning. But as we said, this tree reminds us of what we're called to do. Now, we may not be hanging on the tree, but we're called to point to Jesus Christ. That's our calling as believers. And so I encourage you today, as we stand for our benediction, I encourage you to point to Christ. Please stand with me today for the benediction, and then I will ask you to stay standing in place as our accompanists play the Hallelujah Chorus. Please stand with me this morning. As we prepare to depart this place today, hear these words. Go now in the peace of Christ, whose coming stills the storms of our hearts and quiets the noise of this world. May the light of the second candle remind you that peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God among us. Walk in hope, speak with kindness, and live as bearers of His peace until the day when His glory fills the earth. Point to Christ. That's what we're called to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please remain standing in your place for the Alleluia Chorus.
Okay, Keith.
I'm good.
Thank you, Mark.